Welcome to Spaghetti Launchers, the world building podcast where we throw spaghetti at the wall and it is up to you what sticks. I'm Kyle.
My name is Ethan. Welcome everyone to today's episode where we will be discussing prophecies.
Kyle, why have you done full NPR voice? What's happened? Are you okay?
I'm fine, Kyle. Thanks for asking. How are you today?
What's that thing on Parks and Rec where they go, on the
oh,
NPR?
Oh, God, like, yeah. The public... It's like,
oh, God, and they play the music. She's like, this is terrible. He's like, yes, it's quite awful.
Where it's like jazz on jazz. It's like...
Yes.
It's like three jazz tracks together.
Jazz played with spoons or something. I forget what it was. It was very funny, though.
Anyway, prophecies. That's our episode of the day. And this is going to be one of our fun D20 episodes where we're going to roll a D20 to determine our ideas because we don't have ideas prepped coming into this one. This is the full improv episodes. We just have 20 words based off of D&D subclasses, right?
Subclasses, yes, sir.
And then we use those to give ourselves the starting point for whatever these prophecies are going to be. Now, I really wanted to talk about prophecies because I've been watching a lot of Dune.
Mm.
I've just been consuming Dune content.
Dune Prophecy?
I watched Dune Prophecy, the TV show, and we played Dune Imperium this weekend, the board game.
I once again missed. Every time.
Well, I'm glad you did, because we needed only four people, and if you were there, we would not have had four people. It's a good game, but, you know, that is a classic prophecy story.
It's all built into prophecy. The whole thing, it wouldn't exist without prophecy.
Yeah, you know. Religion has tons of prophecy. We're not going to talk about that one.
There's a book called Prophets in the Old Testament.
Yeah. Every chosen one is kind of a prophecy.
Anakin was a prophecy.
Because there's like the prophecy and there's prophets.
You speak of the prophecy of the chosen one, which will bring the force back into balance.
Because like you have prophecies and you have prophets. And those are different.
A prophecy is really just an educated guess taken wildly out of context.
Yes. And a prophet is a person... who is
an educated guesser taken wildly out of context
and usually claiming to be speaking on behalf of a deity of some kind, right?
Most likely just doing a lot of ayahuasca, but
also true.
Quoting Alan Rickman from Dogma, which I cannot recommend enough, I am the Metatron. Never heard of what the Metatron is? Metatron acts as the voice of God. Anyone speaking who thinks they're speaking to God, they're actually speaking to me, or they're talking to themselves.
All right. That's a quote.
Fantastic movie. Everyone should go watch it.
Okay. There's also in The Great, which I just recently binged. It's fantastic. It's truly one of the best shows I've ever seen. And Archbishop, when he goes to speak to God, he literally just goes and has a trip in the woods. And he thinks this is like, I go to talk to God.
Absolutely.
And
psychedelics have been wildly used throughout the course of religious history as a way of communicating with the divine or with spirits or for mystical purposes.
Yeah. Well, let's do some of that right now and come up with our own prophecies.
I don't do psychedelics, Kyle. Stop trying to get me to do psychedelics, for God's sake.
I'm not trying to get anyone to do psychedelics. I don't want to do psychedelics. I don't have an interest in that. That's not my jam, but you do you, babes.
What is your jam? Favorite flavor of jam right now?
Ooh. I'm going to go strawberry or blackberry.
Good choices.
I kind of just oscillate between them.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are my go-tos as well. Yeah. But I will say a really good apricot.
I never really have it. It's not like, because it doesn't feel as versatile, so I don't buy it, I guess. But it probably is.
It actually is. It's really good to use in glazes or things like that to mix with savory things. Glaze because of, yeah. So... would recommend it. Anyway.
Welcome to Jam Talk.
Welcome to the Jam.
Hey, you just got jammed. All right, that's two Parks and Rec jokes in an episode. Now let's move on. Roll that D20.
Rolling that dice.
You can hear it.
11.
Your idea is, this seems pretty self-explanatory. The prophecy of conquest. Can you make it not what you think?
Yeah, I got nothing.
Yeah, we'll redo it. All right.
We're going to redo that one.
I was going to say there's a guy named Quest, and he will get conned.
So stupid.
That's a prophecy of conquest. There's a guy named Quest. He gets conned. That's it. No, and as a result, no one ever has a kid named Quest ever. I fucked up with the list, man. That was not my best choice. I'm rolling again.
Yeah, roll again.
12.
That would be open sea. As in the open water or the open sea.
Yeah, not the wide.
Not the letter.
Yeah. OpenSea is meant to, it's from the subclass that Matt Mercer designed. It was designed to be like, oh, this is a subclass all about freedom and exploration for a pirate character on Critical Role. That's not how I'm thinking about it, although I am tempted to take it that way. This is a walled off society where it only exists because some ancient society or civilization has figured out how to not just dam a river, but actually dam and push out an ocean to a degree to where people can actually live and have a functioning dry society.
They use dikes.
Correct.
Yeah, but on a massive scale.
Massive, massive scale. Correct.
Yeah, the Dutch ain't got nothing on this.
Nothing. Nothing like this. And so they are protected, but outside is storms and these incredibly apocalyptic storms and tumultuous tempests, and the sea is just roiling around them at all times. And so the prophecy is not one actually of, oh, the calm open sea. It is the prophecy of the sea will open onto you. And basically, there will be no more society. There will just be the open sea. And so it is a cautionary tale, not necessarily used to keep people in line with society, but more to impress upon them the need to take care of the dikes, of the walls that keep their city safe. And I know I made a joke during our Sacred Objects episode about the instruction manual from Severance, or the employee manual from Severance, being a holy object to the innies. I imagine that the prophecy is actually a misreading of the instruction manual for these dikes left by the ancient society that said, like, if you do not take care of these things, they will break, right? Just like any instruction manual says, yeah. if you misuse your air fryer, it will explode. Same principle.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they have just misinterpreted it
as this inevitability. Rather,
exactly.
And so they're actually doing the right thing,
yeah,
to prevent this, but they are terrified by this threat that they think will come.
Correct.
But fail to understand that it won't come because they are doing all that they need to do.
Exactly.
It's amazing. Love it.
Yeah.
Way to make that work. And this is where Quest lives.
This is where Quest lives.
He's the one who got he got conned. He's the one who read the instruction manual and made it into the prophecy.
Yep, that's right. He got conned into being the first one to have to clean the walls and make sure that they were functioning right. And rest is history.
Because like the city itself is really interesting. Like the idea of having that city like fully in an isolationist posture because they're behind they're in the open sea by them, or they're in a closed off portion of the sea. I think that's really cool. The prophecy is pretty clean and we don't really need to do anything more on that. So I guess, is the city exposed to, I guess this is also me not fully understanding how dikes work.
I'm not great at it. It was largely actually inspired by, initially the first thing that popped into my mind when I decided I didn't want to do calm exploratory open sea. Uh-huh. I wanted to do something about the sea opening onto you. First thought that came into my head was Noah's Ark, where it talks about God releasing the waters of chaos. And it's like, oh, was the flood actually water, or was it the primordial sea, the primordial chaotic sea that he released and to destroy the world? I love that thing, that inconsistency. I don't know what it is. I love that idea, though. But then I immediately started thinking to the end of Pacific Rim, another great movie that's so bad it's good, where they detonate the nuke underwater, and the explosion is under the ocean. The explosion is so powerful that it pushes the ocean out, and so it's dry, and you see all these fish flopping to the ground before the ocean rushes back in. To
that's pretty cool.
Fill back into space. It was a great shot.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, so there's, all right, this is how you would get dry land underwater.
The craziest thing is they did that with practical effects.
I know.
They drained the Pacific Ocean to
no,
make that happen.
Well, first they had to build the giant robots.
And then they drained
the ocean. Then they drained the
ocean by detonating a nuke.
A nuke.
You didn't hear about it. The mainstream media doesn't want you to know.
Guillermo del Toro, my God, that man's commitment.
Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah, I guess the thing that I'm realizing is dikes work at like low sea level land. We're talking, are we talking about fully like deep ocean? It can't be that. It has to be that it is like at a low sea level somewhere, because otherwise you'd be fully like so down low from the water, and the I don't think you'd have, that'd be pretty crazy. I think
you've got to have a way to get people in and discover it and like keep a society going. So I imagine it's
like there's like a just an area where there's like a sandy shoal or something, and they've been able to basically build the dikes to reclaim a bunch of land.
Yeah, it's just that,
but it's still
deeper and bigger and taken to a more sci-fi scale.
Yeah, yeah, but not like not over the top where it's 500 foot. You know,
no, we're not talking water. Dyson sphere level sci-fi here. We're talking.
All right, I don't even know we're talking sci-fi. We're talking. We can talk about anything in my world. In my image is either. You know, it's
sure.
Fantasy, sci-fi. Yeah,
I went more sci-fi, but because I used the words instruction manual, but that was it. And instruction manual feels more sci-fi than magic.
All right, let me roll and see what my idea is going to be. 5.
Prophecy of Valor.
Okay. I don't necessarily love this, but I think it feels like kind of it's the obvious option. But we're going to get into it because I think it's fine. Prophecy of Valor is that there is a time coming in, say, 5 years where... basically your valor will be tallied up. All
that's interesting.
Will have their valor calculated, and like it's a race to have the most valor before that point hits, because that determines basically your, you know, whatever we like, you know, your afterlife, your place among the gods, how, you know, maybe
the grand pizza party.
If you get enough, you can get a pizza party. You can get a waffle party if you're really good. It helps determine your place among the gods. I think that's kind of where I want to get into it. So, you know, there's it is among the pantheon, the god of war has this, you know, this valor prophecy, and now it's like coming true. Some marker has occurred that is the signal.
Yeah.
That the prophecy is coming, like that, you know, when the sun does this, or, you know, when a child is born of this, blah, 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 that means, you know, in 25 years, the prophecy of Valor will be complete, yada, yada. So then as a result of this, everybody is just in constant fights. And not in a, like, I want to brawl, in a, I need to have an honorable duel. I need to have an honorable fight, and I have to win. I need Valor. Like, everybody's going for it. It's chivalry gone wild. It's everybody has, like, everyone's walking around with a herald who's, like, their 10-year-old child who isn't really a part of this and can't qualify. Just be like, carry my fucking...
I just want to be clear for the folks that can't see. Kyle was holding a hand to his side like he was holding his spear, and then he said they're walking around with a herald. My mind immediately went to heraldry, like a heraldic symbol, like a flag. Yeah, on, yeah. Like, I was like, okay, cool. And then he starts talking about a 10-year-old child. I'm like, dear God, did you stab the child? What is happening with this child?
No, the child is holding the heraldry flag. Because all the adults are busy fighting, because all of them need to be involved, because they want because they're the eligible people in this valor contest.
Got it.
So they're pawning it off on their children and child labor to make this happen, or they just have heraldry on. You know, they put it in a backpack. I don't know, but
I like it.
But everyone's walking around just, you know, it's every night. It's just like it's recuperate. It's like it's a mad dash of like trying to like. Ice baths in a medieval setting, however you can do that.
Sure.
And then just like recuperate and then get out there, and you got to fight the next day, and you just got to keep winning and winning and winning. And there's wars happening all over the place that people are just like, hey, don't destroy resources. We just need to be having honorable fights everywhere. So it's just, it becomes a weird culture for a while.
See, I like that because I like a prophecy that is not loaded with very specific symbols or times, you know, like, oh, when the two suns rise, then the great night will rise with them. Like, then everyone's just looking for two suns.
Yeah.
all the time, right? Or trying to figure out, oh, that star is really bright. Could that be the second, right? It's like, no. Just give me a vague, like, oh, there is a time when your valor will be counted.
Yeah.
And so you have no idea. It could be Tuesday. It could be 10,000 years from now. You have no idea. But you got to, in case it comes, you got to be ready.
Well, that's why I was saying there's like a period where it becomes on steroids because there is some symbol that is expected.
I misunderstood that. I thought you were saying that wouldn't happen.
No, I was saying it wouldn't. I think yours is cool. I liked the, I think yours makes, I like that as a general concept. For this idea, I didn't want to make it where it's a society that is constantly just having like, you know, valor-based fights because it would just be kind of a non-functioning society. So this one was like, I was making it more time-bound.
Sure.
But maybe you could say that it is an eternal thing, that people are, you know, constantly just trying to recover and get back up and be like, all right, well, I got to duel people. And so there's constant duels and fights.
But it also makes it more flexible in that, yes, it isn't time-bound, but it does make it a little bit more conspiratorial, I guess, where or paranoid or anxious, where you've got someone that's always watching global affairs be like, oh, no, things have gone awry, like now is the time for valor, now is the time for heroes, so the prophecy of valor is coming due, right?
Interesting. Yeah, it's like the god declares it as a way to meddle.
Yeah,
it's interesting.
So it's like it's like, oh, there's this war, so it's basically, this is it's a way to get at the rationale for a warrior society. Is like, now is the time because there's this war going on. So clearly this must be the time. And then they all go and they take on these noble challenges and they defend the weak and they demonstrate their valor. And then they just die and the prophecy doesn't happen. And, oh, damn, we read the signs wrong. It wasn't that, you know, like, yep. When it's more vague, you can manipulate it a little bit more.
Yeah. Well, and from a like vibes perspective and thinking about like when the prophecy is coming due and, or just at any point in this, like while this is all happening, that you have a like you have like this culture of competition and games and revelry that occurs like in every town square, that it's like people recording who lost to who the previous day, like, or at the end of the day, it's like, you know, like, oh, come and report your, you know, like report the fights so that people can keep track, because people want to know, because they want to know also who should I challenge? Who's like, whose scalp should I try to get? Like, what's the rankings here?
Yeah.
For the, you know, for the, this valor. And then people, you know, have a great time and they all, you know, there is that chivalry of, you know, oh, good fight out there. Blah, 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 blah. Let's have an ale. You know, like you have a fun camaraderie at the end of the days. As there's this, just this community element built into the valor system. Yeah.
I imagine there's also a few people that always end up getting screwed. Like they never get to sit down because they're always pulling chairs out for other people, or they're just perpetually stuck holding the door for others. There's a little bit of a politeness war as well.
I mean, well, it like given how you're defining valor, because it's hard to figure out how to make valor anything other than just fucking combat.
I think just bravery. I think
like
that's
bravery. The definition of valor is weird, and like, you know, if being, you know, chivalric knights, you know, like that whole concept doesn't necessarily revolve around politeness, but it kind of, I don't even know. So. You know, you can look up the definition of valor, but you could also just use this as like, you could take the word valor and replace it with heroism or whatever, and it's
great courage in the face of danger, especially in battle.
Yeah, so it's like, it's so battle based that you're kind of limited, but you could change the nature of it, you could change the wording to then make it more flexible and use it in other contexts, and you know give it other criteria or other events and criteria that are playing into it. But yeah that's that idea. So I don't actually want any lasagna. Do you want lasagna?
I'm stuffed, Kyle. I'm gonna go.
Let's just move into what stuck for us then.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll just bypass the frozen lasagna. Sorry.
Yeah.
Not sorry. All right. So tell me what stuck for you.
Quest.
Quest was really.
Fucking Quest got con, man.
Conquest was really good.
Quest got con, bro.
It's got real Jupiter Ascending Boots vibes of a throwaway line that becomes like,
becomes a whole thing. Quest got con.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
What about you?
Is that really?
I'm not kidding, man. What's stuck for you?
I think it's, I think the open seas really was such a good spin on where I would have taken that. I really loved the idea that it's, well, the seas are going to open and flood us, mm-hmm. and we like, and creating a society, a civilization, a city, you know, like through dikes that you are out in the water and you are keeping the sea at bay.
Yeah.
I think that one just worked really neatly, especially with like the prophecy actually just being a misunderstanding of that their instructions were X, and they think, you know, that's the prophecy. And
right.
Like, it was like, no, that's just the basic instructions.
Yeah. It's
like, you're good. Just keep doing
that. Just keep doing that. Right. Like, and which is funny because now I'm not going to be able to read an instruction manual without saying, it's like, oh yeah, no, if the air fryer is less than 5 inches away from the wall, it will explode. Oh man, if I ever see the air fryer less than 5 inches away from the wall, I'm going to get really afraid. I'm going to get real nervous. We're never worrying about it if it's on, just if it's within 5 inches, I'm going to get real nervous.
Yeah. Well, that's what stuck for us. Let us know what stuck for you. Email's in the show notes.
Thanks for listening. Get out of my house.
This is my house.
Did I stutter?
All right, I'll leave.